My guest today is considered by Comedy Central to be one of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. She won an American Comedy Award as Best Female Stand-Up. She was the first female to perform stand-up at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. She has won 2 Cable Ace Awards, and according to Publishers Clearinghouse, she may be a winner right now. She has won a local Emmy, has written books, voiced numerous animated characters. She's had her own television series on HBO and ABC, and she is coming to the Holland Performing Arts Center Friday, August 24th. I would love to introduce this iconic stand-up comedian. However, we are completely out of time. My guest today is Paula Poundstone.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I've read reviews of you, and I've seen your comedy and your sharp wit, improvisation with the audience. Due to that, many say you never do the same show twice. So would it be fair to say that if somebody saw you in, I don't know, San Antonio or Poughkeepsie, they should come see you again?
Oh, yeah. People see me all over the country, which I love. People come up to me and they say, we've seen you 5 times, once in Las Vegas, you know, once in Poughkeepsie, once in, and it's always a little creepy because you think, why are they following me? But no, you could come see my show if on a Thursday and then on a Friday, or even, you know, if I did 2 shows on a Friday. And would it be entirely different? No. But it would be, I'd say 50% of it would be different.
When you do get going and you're really clicking with the audience and there's a lot of give and take going on, how does it feel?
Oh, it's the greatest feeling in the entire world. It's just for a variety of reasons. Probably the greatest of which is that laughter is healing. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. It is, and not just, you know what has bugged me for years is this thing, LOL, when somebody types in on their stupid flat thing, LOL. You do not laugh when you're by yourself. You may acknowledge mentally that you think something is funny, but you laugh when you're with other people. That unbridled laughter.
Oh, that's great. I've read in your books that you don't watch live TV, just the videos or the DVDs. And as KIOS-FM is an NPR affiliate, we have the show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. How do you prepare for a current event show like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me without watching the live TV? Where do you...
Oh, I do. I don't watch, like, shows, but I watch the News Hour. I watch the News Hour online, usually, on PBS, and I try to listen to Morning Edition, when I'm up and in the car at the right time. And I'm not proud of this, but I do watch MSNBC sometimes. And the only reason I say I'm not proud of it is because it's, you know, if you ever caught them on a slow news day, the way they sort of all day long are like, keep watching. And by the end of the day, you're just a basket case.
That's perfect. You've done this over 30 years. And if they made a Mount Rushmore of comedy, it's you. And who are the 3 other comics?
Oh, that's such a great question. Let me think. Okay. Wow. Well, first of all, if they made... Okay, you've already messed up the Mount Rushmore by putting me on it.
I actually think you're the one who could most likely have hair like George's. So if
I
you did
do,
it right...
Yeah, you couldn't really do my hair in Mountain. You could do it with shrubs. You couldn't do it with Mountain. You could do it in a topiary. I could be done in a topiary. Okay, taking me off... sandblasting me off of Mount Rushmore, I would say Lily Tomlin would belong on Mount Rushmore of comedy. And I think that Robin Williams would because he really made possible many of the performers working today, myself included, by he reinvigorated audiences' interest in stand-up comedy in the late 70s. And it's not that there weren't comics around, there were, but there weren't nearly as many as there are now. I mean, some of us that really aren't all that good get to make a living off of it because Robin generated that excitement about the form. And the other thing he did was he did away with the segue, which, I mean, maybe Robin might have said that Jonathan Winters had already done that, but Robin did it in a way, you know, it used to be that when you were telling a story, you always had to have this linear path of the story. But Robin's a guy who's over here and over there and over here and over there, and the listener or the viewer got used to that.
And he literally used the line in, and I think it was in the Frisco concert in 84, Silly Rabbit Segways Are for Kids.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's great. I met him in the early 80s sometimes, and, you know, he was very good to me in many, many, many ways. But the truth is, that wasn't unique. It wasn't unique to me. He was really good to lots and lots and lots of us, comics, young comics, and I was a young comic then. So anyways, he would be on my Mount Rushmore, and Lily, and I don't know. It's a very difficult question. This is part of the reason I've never crafted a Mount Rushmore of comics before. I want to get somebody.
I saw that Carl Reiner did a liner note on your book.
Yes, he did.
I didn't know if Carl. I've heard that Carl and Mel Brooks get together and have dinner four or five times a week because they're the only two that can make each other laugh.
Isn't that a great image?
Yes, it is. It reminds me of the two old guys from The Muppets.
I don't think they're that cranky yet, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's something about their longevity that you can't help believing that getting together with someone that makes you laugh four nights a week has got something to do with that, because it's an awfully funny coincidence otherwise.
And if you look at then George Burns, Bob Hope, all those guys that lived up to the night, Milton Berle, the same thing.
Yeah,
They all lived into their 90s.
Well, so much came from Carl Reiner. You're absolutely right. He would to me, the Dick Van Dyke Show is like my Bible, you know. Sometimes I read from the Book of Buddy. It's so many great things came as a result of just the fact of that show. And I suppose you could go back a little bit further and say so many great things came as the result of the fact of the Sid Caesar show, because so many of those guys that went on to do great things wrote for him. And, of course, Dick Van Dyke was the story of that.
But that was another great female comedian, Imogen Coca.
Oh, my gosh.
As well, right?
I loved her. Loved her. I went to see her and Sid Caesar at a little theater in Westwood. They did a show together. And she was pee your pants funny. She was like the kind of funny where you couldn't breathe.
A reminder to everybody, Paula Poundstone coming to the Holland Performing Arts Center Friday, August 24th. You can get your tickets at paulapoundstone.com, or for more information, you go to ticketomaha.com as well. We hope to see you there. Thank you, Paula.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. Mucho apreciado.